Acts 2, starting with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in their own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'"
We thank God for his holy word this morning, and that his spirit may fill us to understand what his word means to us. Fred Chadwick is an author of books written on preaching. In fact, I've read some of his books, and it's been sort of a mentor to me as I think about how to deliver a message. And in his books, he talks about storytelling and talks about how to take the scripture that we understand through the Holy Spirit so that we can understand it and use it in our daily lives. He's well known in the world of preaching at many universities. Well, Fred Chadwick tells a funny story about one of his lectures that he was given out on the West Coast. He was out there to speak to a group of men and women in seminary. And just before his first lecture, one of the students stood up and said, "Before you speak, Dr. Chadwick, I need to know if you're Pentecostal." The room grew still. Chadwick said he looked around for the dean of the seminary, just wondering if this was a setup. And since he couldn't see the dean of the seminary, he said to the student, "Do you mean, do I belong to a Pentecostal church?" he said. "No, I mean, are you Pentecostal?" Chadwick said. Do you mean, am I charismatic?" the student said. "No, I'm asking you if you're Pentecostal." Chadwick said, a little confused, do I speak in tongues?" The student, being frustrated, said, "No, I just want to know if you're Pentecostal." Chadwick said, "I don't know what your question is." And the student responded by saying, "Obviously, you're not Pentecostal."
and the student left. What are we talking about this morning? And what does Pentecostal really mean to us? Is it a noun or is it an adjective? Do we look at it as an event in history that the Acts talks to us about? Or is it an adjective, something that we use and something that lives within us? Are we Pentecostal? When we think about it, if the church is alive, by the definition of Pentecostal, you are, if you live through the Holy Spirit, you are Pentecostal. And you all thought you were Christian Reformed. I want us to think about the word Pentecostal. And this morning I want to look at Acts, which is a very powerful scripture in the New Testament. Because Acts was written as that book of the Bible that starts putting action into the lives of the disciples. It's a book of the Bible that speaks to us through Paul, that takes what we have learned about Jesus Christ in Matthew and Mark and John and Luke and what the disciples experienced, and now calls us and calls the disciples into action. But they're not going into action alone. They're going into action blessed by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see this morning. So the first thing I want us to think about this morning as it looks at the scripture is that the disciples were in one accord. When the day of Pentecost came, we learned that the disciples were together in one place. It is the day that Jesus Christ had predicted and promised would come. Because at the end of the first chapter, Jesus says that there will be a day when I give you a messenger to be with you. The disciples knew when the Holy Spirit came down upon them. There was no shadow of doubt that the living Lord was on them and that the Father ascended to be upon them through the Holy Spirit. Some people have trouble with knowing what is the Trinity. You know, you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know them to be one, and we know them to be in one accord. So how do we understand the Trinity? I would like to suggest to you that the Trinity is like water, steam, and ice. For you see that they all have the same byproduct. They have all the same derivative of moisture. But they all have three different types of solids to them, or components. The water, we see, we drink, we experience. The steam is something that we see that goes into the air. And the ice is something that it's hard and we use to cool things down. So I'd like to have you think of the Trinity and that the Holy Spirit is that part of the Trinity that is the vapor. That is the vapor that is around us, that engulfs us. As the disciples came together, they were of one accord in that time. And as we as Christians come together before the Lord, we are in one accord when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That we know that He makes a difference in our life, no matter what transpires in our life. And things transpire. Charles Stanley this morning in his TV message talked about conflict. And he talked that conflict is inevitable. It's going to happen. But it is through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and another, the second component of this morning's message, that we get to know how to work through conflict. How we, through the Holy Spirit, can be one accord when we are with God. And God can help us through that. And that brings me to the second part of this today's message about being Pentecostal. In chapter 1, verse 14, we are told they all joined together constantly in prayer. Do you know where the church is growing the fastest? Do you think it's here in the United States? Do you think it's in Korea, Africa, or Latin America? It's actually in Korea, Africa, and Latin America where the church is growing the fastest. They have had large revivals where people come together. But the key component, if you talk to the administrators and the organizers of those events, is that they come together in prayer. Prayer is such an important part of understanding what it is to be Pentecostal. To have the Holy Spirit in your life, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to understand what the Holy Spirit has in store for your life. But do you slow down enough to hear it? There's a poem by an unknown author that says this: I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier became each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me the beauty of the day. And he said, you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Too many people in this culture today go it alone. We're in fast mode. How many of you go through the McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's drive-up for your morning coffee? I see some smiles. How many of you sit down at the table to eat your dinner, to take time to slow down? If we are to come into God's presence, we must ask to be in His presence. There's an awesome book, and you may have, through the years, done this in Bible study. It's by Bill Hybels. It says, Too Busy Not to Pray. And one of the things that I have taken from here, and I've read this several times, and it wasn't even the first or second time that it really hit me. It's really something that hit me within the last year as I reread Too Busy Not to Pray. And I'm in here, in Hebrews 3:5, God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Jesus tells his disciples in John 4:18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. One of Jesus' names is Emmanuel, which means God with us. We don't need to ask God to be with us if we are members of His family. And this is the key. This is where it makes me smile. The author said, instead, we need to pray that we will be aware of His presence. Over the years, I've always prayed, God, please be with me today. My prayer today is, God, may I be aware of your presence in my life. May I be aware of the Holy Spirit working in my life. May you be aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Once that insight came to me through the Holy Spirit, it changed my prayers. It changed my attitude about what the Holy Spirit does in our life. As I was sitting there, my prayer was, as God, may I be aware of the Holy Spirit in delivering this message, that it may be your words, not mine. maybe the Holy Spirit speaking to us this morning. To be aware of the Holy Spirit's presence is such a gift. It's awesome when you think about what the word aware means to each one of us. It can be intoxicating. It can be something when you feel and feel the awareness of God that makes you do things that you normally may not do, and that's to share His gospel. And I grew up in a Christian Reformed church. Even though I'm a pastor in a Methodist church now, we aren't quite Pentecostal. We like to think we are. And as prayer and as you feel the Holy Spirit, one of the things that I have shared and that I have felt strong about is when, like we had here today, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, or breathe in me breath of God," that we raise our hands to the Almighty. One of the things that we know from the Pentecostal church, and a lot of times charismatic, is they raise their hands. Why do they do that? They do that because they feel the power of the Holy Spirit ascending. And in the scripture, it is scripturally based, that they raise up their hands. We haven't, as Christian Reformed or Methodists or Protestants, have experienced that. But there are times when I'm involved with other groups that as they sing these songs, "Majesty, holy, holy, how great thou art," that I feel inclined to raise my hand and feel the power of the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage you, if the Spirit moves you to raise your hand, to raise your hand in song, to raise your hand in prayer, to experience and be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit through song and through prayer. And the third point that I'd like to make in as being Pentecostal is that the need to repent. To repent of the sins that Christ died on the cross for. Whether it's thought, word, or deed, or the way that we used our tongue, not to encourage somebody, but to take someone down. My brother Doug and my sister Grace remember his Uncle Miles, who has passed away several years ago. But his thing was, is if you take somebody down, you have to say three things to lift them back up. Miles had the attitude of appreciation. He had a smile, and that's why they called him Smiles. Smiley. Right, Doug? He was known as Smiley. But he lifted people up. He used his tongue to encourage people, to make people feel lifted up. But then when he didn't use it the right way, he said, "I had to say three things to make up for it." But when we come in repentance before our Lord, as believers, we simply say this: "Lord, help to change our mind, to recognize those things we do in error, and to accept those, your children, that are around us. To not be concerned about ridicule, because Christians are ridiculed, but to know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and that He died on the cross for me, and He rose from the dead. My prayer is, Lord, that I may be aware of the messenger that the Holy Spirit sent, and that's the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit may be within me, and that I may be aware of what He wants me to do." So I ask you again this morning, are you Pentecostal? My answer is yes, because the Holy Spirit is upon us. He loves us and He cares for us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, we thank You for this message that You have given to us this morning. Lord, may we not look at Pentecostal as a word noun, but as an adjective, something that we act upon, something that we put into practice, that others may see that the Holy Spirit is alive, and that we may be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, in our daily activities, that others may see that Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit is alive in our life. We pray this in your name and the Holy Spirit that is in us. Amen.